7 o'clock, Ms. Collins, will be in order, please. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Colosimo.
Present.
Cott.
Here.
Milchewski.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Teeling.
Here.
A quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? Yes, sir.
I'd like to remove number 4 on the consent agenda and move it to public works.
Okay. Anything else? All those in favor of amending the agenda as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Presentations. We're just going to do a comp plan presentation under the Planning and Zoning Commission report. Okay. No public hearings. Any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Teeling.
Aye.
Cott.
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting of July 26, 2016 and August 9, 2016 as presented.
Second.
Comments, questions, or corrections on the minutes?
Who seconded, please? Thank you.
Any corrections on minutes? All those in favor of approving as presented, please state aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next, under Mayor's Report, I will entertain a motion to approve a resolution approving an amendment to Project Agreement OS-13-1864 with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, one-year extension for the Bicentennial Riverfront Park Grant, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Woo! Can we have some excitement? This is exciting.
Woo!
Yes, we got two woos.
Any more woos before we move on?
Carlo, woo for the people.
I'm not wooing.
Okay, roll call, please.
Cut.
Aye.
Frieders.
Woo!
Tarulis.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Teeling. Coke.
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve a resolution approving an amendment to Project Agreement OS-14-1905 with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, one-year extension for the Bristol Bay 65 grant, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Woo!
Woo!
Two woos.
Any more woos? Roll call, please.
Frieders.
Woo!
Tarulis.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Teeling.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Cott.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, and I'll hand it off to Alderman Funkhauser for a Public Works Committee report, which consists of number 4 off the consent agenda. PW 2016-56.
We have a motion to approve ordinance amending the city code as it relates to leaves and authorizing the mayor to the city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments, questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think when we initially discussed this a few years ago, I had the same concerns and then it wasn't put in, so I didn't care, and now it's put in. I've always had an issue with the city requiring people to maintain right-of-ways that they don't own. How do we justify that? If from their property lines through the right-of-way, we're amending it so that they have to maintain the right-of-way. but they don't own it. So how can we require citizens to maintain property that's not theirs?
It is a common requirement.
I know it's common.
but are the beneficiary of the...
So why don't we require them to shovel the snow on the street in front of their house where we don't have to plow anymore? Why don't we require... You know what I mean? It's like, where do we draw the line?
Because they're, right there. Because the street being plowed is to the safety and benefit of the community. The care of your parkway in front of your home gives you expanded setbacks, expanded places, so that's why it's so common. It's a benefit.
I know it's common, but common is always necessary to be bright.
Many towns also require a certain number of trees in your parkway,
right,
in addition to maintenance.
Sure, I get it, but just because other people do it doesn't mean it's necessarily right. I guess I'd like to hear what the other alderman say. Maybe I'm sitting on an island all by myself, but I have a real hard time with requiring people to maintain property that's not theirs. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but I legitimately do. Yes, sir.
As someone who has always maintained that right-of-way, my issue is that in my neighborhood, we got a bunch of trees taken down, and now the HOA wants us to replace the trees that weren't our responsibility in the first place. And if I don't replace them, I get a fine, but in the original PUD, it says that the developer himself would put these trees in to maintain them. So now I have to replace it at my expense.
Yeah, but that's your HOA.
Yeah, but we both have issues with our right-of-way, so I think we should take this up with our respective aldermen.
You should.
Call your I'll do it right now.
There's a difference there. Your right way is not owned by the city.
Not yet.
Therefore, not owned by the taxpayers. Yours and mine are owned by the taxpayers, so I do own a fair share of that. And when I built my house, I understand what the obligations are. And at the time I built my house, this was an obligation or criteria that I was to maintain. I mean, you are agreeing.
It's not a lien on your property.
No, but you are agreeing to the codes that are in place when you occupy that
residence. I thought my house was supposed to go this code wasn't in place.
Right,
I can't agree to anything.
Well, that most people don't agree to it, but it's one of them. You do own it to a percentage where you own all the city.
So why don't we make the citizens mow our parks? They own it. Let the citizens come out and mow our parks. We can save all this money on...
As Kathy said, it's for the common benefit.
Right. Mowing our parks would be for the common benefit. The residents, grab your mowers, come on out. Let's start mowing our... I don't know. I just think it's...
So, if citizens don't maintain the parkways, are you proposing the city maintaining all the parkways? Cuts all the grass from people's houses?
If it's the parkway, it's not on their property. How can we require them to find them? Fine if they maintain property, if they refuse to maintain property that is not theirs. I just, that is a very difficult pill for me to swallow.
We require them to maintain a certain curfew to their property.
Sure.
If not, we will fight and clean their property and whatnot. It's kind of the opposite spectrum. It's their property, but we are imposing a rule against their property. We want you to maintain the city property.
Right. And that, and that I can swallow because I obviously have building codes and requirements and I get all that. But we're requiring them to maintain property that they do not own.
But how can I require the owner of their building to maintain that?
To me, it's two different arguments. We have, we have building codes. We have requirements for property owners. I get that. It's their property. Regulate how they maintain their property. I get that government has that power. I think government crosses the line when we require them to maintain property they do not own. You don't mow my lawn. Just come over and mow my lawn. It's for the benefit of the city of Yorkville. Mow my lawn once a week. That'd be great. Thank you. I think Diane.
Diane, go ahead.
Why don't we just do a study then to find out how much it's going to cost to maintain this parkway and then fit it in our budget? Raise taxes so we can maintain that property then.
I think it would cost a lot of money. I think a lot of people will maintain their parkways whether we require it or not. I have a So that's probably
you just don't want it to be in the
mandate. I'm going to mow my I'm going to mow my median in my cul-de-sac at the island if I have to. I don't care. The point is, there's a difference between maintaining and being forced to maintain.
So then if people don't do it, then you just sell to someone else or mow it.
But a lot of people better than the
Not if you're parkway in front of your home, does it benefit your name?
Well, I guess I just want to hear what the alderman, other alderman thinks. When I read it, I think it would be
Well, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I mean, the alternative is we mow them, and we, I mean,
No, I think the alternative is most people will mow it without being required to do so.
I consider mine to begin with, but technically you're right, the city owns it, but yeah, I mean, I call it and I'm thinking, I would want to not want to guess it's my case.
Do we have a problem with this? I mean, are there people mowing their lawn and not mowing the parkway?
There have been time to time in the past. It allows you basically to go out and, you know, there might be a problem area where it's less of a benefit. You know, it's not right in front of somebody's house, so they have to maintain it, but it's actually within their lot. So it would help us to be able to enforce the weed ticket against the property. So is it a frequent problem? Most people mow it, but you know, same for normal property maintenance standards. Most of the people apply.
If they're not mowing it, they're not.
That's what I'm guessing. For the most part, yes, but there are pathway issues in the past.
Well, I would just like to say that, ironically, I have heard this complaint before from someone, and it's not because it's the parkway, but it's not his property, but it's on a hill, and it's very difficult for him to mow. And that would be the only exception that I could see that someone wouldn't want to do it, because it's like, it's hill, it's hard. He's older, and he has a hard time pushing that mower on that hill. I mean, so yeah, I have actually heard that complaint.
So let's give him a ticket if he's not.
I haven't ever heard anybody complain about it other than that. And there's a specific reason.
So if everybody listens to the minutes of this meeting, they're not going to do it, and they decide to rebel and not cut that grass. Who's going to cut the grass?
We are.
But that's an illogical argument. Well, if they don't put it, then we're stuck with it, so let's make them do it. Making them do it
is just
not
going to
get on
the
right.
Then
who's going to do it? Well, if it's city property, then I guess the city will have to.
So, Eric, these guys will have to get out there a little more. I'm just saying. Everybody has a little rebellion now.
Well, since we're on the subject, are we required to have grass on Parkway? What if I want to grab for a flower?
Yeah, but
Seaver would love that.
There are
different ground covers and plants that would be allowed on the parkway, subject to zoning, building code restrictions, and various other
Okay, but that could be a problem. I have someone in my neighborhood. It is on his property, and he thinks it looks good. That's a wild. And you can't even, but you can't even walk on the sidewalk. So could he put the wild garden flower and actually it's kind of extended and seeded over into the parkway? So then you'd be walking, I'm serious, they're wildflowers or echinacea, whatever.
That particular person was the first reason this came up.
She's got a yes vote.
When you walk down the sidewalk, you cannot put two people down because of it. So he wants to put that in the parkway, and it doesn't sound helpful.
In that case, you could not because of the sight distance. That's why it is not in the parkway at this time, is because it would be in the sight distance.
There is also a height restriction in the parkway as well. You can't find a bullet. There's a restrictions. And this extends beyond just residential properties, it goes to commercial properties, which we have some with very large parkways that I'm sure they would willingly not maintain because they're backside of buildings, they'd rather the city maintain for them, and they never would, and send them a bill. And then we also have other larger tracts of land that
Anyone else?
It's clearly a violation of the 13th Amendment.
I have nothing else. Roll call, please.
Carulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Aye. Kat?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I thought it was great.
Just like court, sometimes
committed. All right, no other committee reports. Moving on to Park Board. I'll entertain a motion to approve a resolution to approve the park rental athletic field and tournament reservation applications and policies authorized by the city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kat?
Aye.
Fritters?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve a resolution approving a license extension agreement with Ginger and Soul Inc., 131 East Hyderabad Avenue, Unit C, and authorize the mayor's clerk to execute.
So moved.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kat?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the Park Board recommendation to publish notice of sale for the downtown caboose.
So moved.
Second.
Yes. Yes.
Can we move here? Yeah.
Woo! So I have a comment.
Why do we need money to maintain it?
No. Let's have the citizens maintain it. I've been asking for this thing to be sold for 6 years. So thank God we finally have this going up for sale. So complete waste of taxpayer money to purchase. I can't stress that enough. So that's here you go. I'm sure we're going to take a big loss on it, frankly, they move it, some cost money to move it, I don't care what we get for it, just have them move it, they can pay for it, it can happen.
All right, a handshake deal, and it sold for $5,000, and it never came through.
Doesn't fit in the attic.
So, do we have someone interested in all of that? Because I thought we might do this long time. Yeah, we've had several people interested in it over the years, and then what happens is they do the diligence on the logistics of the moving and the cost of it, and they get scared off. So we have actually posted this for sale when I was Parks and Recreation for 3 years ago. So this isn't our first crack at it, so hopefully this time it's successful.
Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kat?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, next under Planning and Zoning Commission, we have the first reading of our updated comprehensive plan. And we have a gentleman from the LaCorda Group that's going to give us a little presentation.
We sent out the version today, and we've actually provided a printout of those missing somehow they disappear in cyberspace. We have no idea what happened. We also have. Oh, thank you. We also have. Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay. We also have an executive summary that highlights the key strategies in the plan, and also the vision statement and key issues, along with the future land use map, which is the centerpiece of this plan update. So, oh, let's see if we get this since 2008, since the last plan has been prepared, and obviously a lot has happened since 2008. Yorkville is different. A lot of communities are different since 2008, since the recession that we had nationwide. So many communities around the Chicago area are updating their comprehensive plans. There's a different economy. We're also taking into account that the Prairie Parkway is not going to be built. So those were the two really primary factors of really kind of taking a look at the comprehensive plan one more time and updating it to current economic conditions. This plan looks ahead about 10 years, so the time horizon is looking towards 2026. And we want to look, undertake this process to establish new planning priorities for the community. So those were the main focus of the comprehensive plan. Oops. Sorry.
The square with the two arrows going upward, that's your picture.
This is the planning process. We're at the very end. We had a two-year process. There are three different phases to the process. Okay, there you go. All right. The comprehensive plan is divided into two parts. One is what we call setting the stage. It's where we kind of looked at all the economic development data, the land use trends, what was happening in Yorkville. It was also a time where we conducted a community engagement process where we talked with many different stakeholders, including representatives from the city, city departments, developers, downtown property owners, and so forth. And so during that process, we came up with what was called a State of the City report, which we delivered in 2014. And then the second part of the plan is the comprehensive plan, and that's where we have several different chapters. There's a chapter overall on land use, downtown, your commercial areas, your residential areas, and what we call community systems, which is your infrastructure, your parks, and so forth. And then we also took a look at two corridors, El Domain Road and Route 47, and then we have a chapter on implementation. The community engagement process, as I've said, during the first phase, we had an extensive interview process with many different stakeholders. But beyond phase one and into phase two, where we developed the plan, we conducted several different workshops. And we also had a project website and a couple of online surveys that were very well responded to by the community. So we feel that we've garnered very good community support and input into this plan. I'm not going to go into the state of the city part or the setting the stage part. There's a lot of information in there. I do have to say, compliment the city on your GIS systems and your data collection that you've done in-house. It allowed us to really understand what was happening in the residential areas or commercial areas. It allowed us to get some fine-grained analysis of what was happening in your community. So, a lot of that information was very helpful, but the issues on this slide really came to the surface, especially after we talked to the community. Downtown being very important, it's time to revitalize downtown, the overall character, visual appearance of the community, and how do we handle growth. So those are really kind of the top three issues. The other issues we feel were pretty important in terms of diversifying the housing stock, looking at your incorporated. How do we fill out the remaining commercial developments in the community, and then how do we improve the transportation network? The plan kind of starts with the vision statement, and that's sort of the ultimate goal, and it summarizes where we want to go as a community in 10 years. And so I'm not going to read the vision statement. It is in the executive summary as well. But the highlights, one is really diversifying the land uses. Revitalizing the downtown is really big. And then undertaking sustainable residential development. As we know, since 2008, the recession had great impact on the development of the community. So how do we look at your subdivisions and encourage new development? How do we look at subdivisions that are not developing? The last thing, in terms of one thing that we really call out throughout the plan is placemaking Yorkville. One thing we heard quite a lot from community residents is that even though they live in a subdivision, they don't necessarily associate themselves with living in Yorkville. And so what we wanted to try to do is try to have some urban design recommendations, placemaking, that would allow people to understand and feel that they belong in Yorkville rather than just a subdivision. This is the future land use map. And I'm not going to go into any great detail. It hasn't changed too much from the 2008 land use plan. We do take into account, you can't see very well. We'll only see if the pointer is working. But we do take into account two areas on the north side of the Yorkville here. Oh, there we go. Top. There are two areas over here where potentially transit-oriented development could happen. An area to the east of Route 47 along Galena Road, and then further to the west, a site that was determined in the 2008 plan. So we have two sites that we're considering for future transit-oriented development station or a future metro station. The other thing with the future land use map is we do consolidate some commercial areas along 47. Another change is that we are allowing some a little bit higher density residential will happen near your commercial areas along 34 and around 47. The comprehensive plan describes land use in detail in terms of specific land use categories. We've identified, I believe, 16 different land use categories, and they're all summarized in the matrix in the comprehensive plan, starting on page 85. So if you look at that matrix, if you look at a specific land use category, it will tell you the ideal or the optimal types of development that should happen in each of these categories, along with some pictures that sort of demonstrate the type of development that should happen. As I've said, the comprehensive plan really focuses on downtown. That was an issue that we heard consistently throughout the process. Now, I'm not going to go through the strategy map in detail, but one of the overall arching strategies for the downtown, obviously because of the expansion of Villanova Route 47 through the downtown, is to reorient the downtown east and west along Vine Haven and Hydraulic Street. We believe there are opportunities to encourage new development there, opportunities to provide some streetscape improvements and pedestrian improvements, and expand the feel of the downtown. A couple of other things that were pointed out, another two big strategies for the downtown is expanding the Riverfront Park, both east and west, and the trail, and encouraging some additional development off to the west where we expand residential and commercial opportunities in that area. We did take a close look at some of the other commercial areas, and we feel that this should be a priority, is really filling out these commercial areas rather than expanding to new ones. We did take a look along Route 47 near Route 71 and potential parcels for commercial development, namely a grocery store development. So we have a couple scenarios of a grocery store could be developed. And up north, we believe, at least in the 10-year time frame of this plan, is that commercial development could go up to Galena Road. And this is an area where some potential sort of entertainment or restaurant or small-scale neighborhood retail can take place, serving some of the adjacent subdivisions, and expanding some park or recreation space near the Raging Waves Water Park. We did take a look at some of your industrial areas, and we're not recommending in this plan any expansion of the industrial areas, although we took a look at some land near the Fox Industrial Park as a potential expansion at some point in the future. Go to the next one. So this is at Route 47 and 71. This could be a potential expansion for industrial in the future, or an industrial park that would be similar to other industrial parks in Portland. In the residential areas, I'm not going to get into too much detail. You see the areas there that are kind of in purple. Those are the TUOD transit-oriented development zones, where sometime in the future, we don't know, depending on the metro feasibility study that's taking place, where the metro station could occur. But if it does occur, these are opportunities to plan for some new residential and some new commercial. The areas that are highlighted kind of in yellow are areas where we would continue to encourage some more suburban type of residential development. The areas in green, we would encourage some larger lot residential to happen, or state residential, or conservation subdivisions, as we discussed in the comprehensive plan. This is a map that kind of shows, in the plan, we break down all the subdivision development that have happened since over the last 20 years, and we broke them down into tiers. Tier 1 are subdivisions that are almost ready to be completed, and that's where a focus of facilitating the completion of subdivision should happen, Tier 1. Next. In Tier 4, which is the last group of subdivisions, these are subdivisions that have not been platted nor entitled. And so these are probably areas where we don't recommend this in the plan, but we do suggest that at some point the city look at changing the land use in these areas. We don't believe, at least in the 10-year time frame, that they will be developed as residential. The demand is not there for that over the 10 years. Next. In terms of community infrastructure, I think just to highlight a few issues. One issue is we heard a lot from the community residents about completing the bike path system. And in the 2008 plan, the bike path system heavily relying on subdivisions being developed and having developers install those trails so that we could have an expanded trail system. Given that we're going to have slower incremental residential growth, the likelihood of having that large bike system being developed is probably unlikely. So one of the things that we recommend in the plan is really looking at some on-street bicycle path connections. Another topic is there are a lot of subdivisions that are being developed outside of your municipal boundaries. And less than 60 acres. And I bring that up, we highlight that in the plan because as a city, you can annex those areas. Other subdivisions that are being developed in the county are within your extraterritorial jurisdiction. Somewhere down the line, even beyond the time frame of this comprehensive plan, the workflow is probably going to grow around those subdivisions. And so we do recommend that the city develop an annexation policy for those subdivisions so that you can encourage them to follow your subdivision regulations. Okay. And then last but not least, in terms of growth, growth management, we do recommend that boundary agreements be developed with Joliet and Millbrook. We think that those are important. The other thing, too, is you may want to consider, you see that workflow, your planning area is big, and that's because you were considering the Prairie Parkway to be developed at some point. We don't think the Prairie Parkway will be developed, so we recommend that you look at your planning area, maybe even shrinking that a little bit more to your mile and a half extraterritorial jurisdiction. Parks, we have a number of recommendations on parks. I've already mentioned about expanding riverfront, licensing the riverfront park as a major park improvement. We also recommend updating your parks and recreation master plan, considering the establishment of a park district at some time in the future in order to be able to manage and install additional amenity improvements to your parks at some point. We did take a look at your corridors, and this is just a sample image from the plan of Route 47 south, extending south from the Fox River. And the only thing, one probably salient point in the corridors that we recommend is making sure that you concentrate certain uses in certain areas. Also doing some urban design and gateway improvements. And probably the signature improvement that we show here is a buffer or green setback. One of the things, as I mentioned, one thing that we heard loud and clear from residents is that they wanted to maintain the small town character. It's why they moved to Yorkville in the first place. So in order to improve the urban design, placement of Yorkville, as I mentioned, we recommended this green buffer be extended from certain areas along 47 and in Eldman Road. And that green buffer can be anywhere from 5 to 20 feet that you can encourage that to be maintained. You can install fencing or something like that to be able to provide that sense of placement and sense of place. And last but not least, and I'm not going to get into great detail, we talked a lot about implementation, about funding, some potential code changes, some new zoning tools that could be applied, streetscape and urban design improvements, and gateways and things like that. I'm not going to go into great detail on this, so I'll probably skip this one. I mentioned earlier about how important placemaking is, and one way in which to bind the community together that we thought it would be important to have a consistent wayfinding and gateway system. And we do have a couple samples of that in the comprehensive plan about installing something more comprehensive that identifies Yorkville. There's also opportunities to do public art in the downtown as a way to attract people to the downtown. We do have an image of potential streetscape improvements, and in the plan, we do talk about pedestrian improvements in certain locations in Yorkville. We think downtown would be a great start to be able to provide some new streets or special paving, lighting, or placemaking elements that would help people understand or identify the downtown Yorkville. And so undertaking some downtown streetscape improvements would be important. And last but not least, we do think, you know, it's always a good practice to take a look at this plan 5 years, 10 years from now and see where you're at. And to use the comprehensive plan most importantly for capital improvements planning. So as we recommend things like wayfinding or streetscape improvements or pedestrian improvements, trying to incorporate some of those aspects into your annual capital improvements plan would be important. That's it. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
questions from the city council?
Adequate.
Yes.
The point about addressing the annexation issues, I know that was one of my favorite topics, that and the wastewater. That makes me sound pretty creepy, so I apologize in advance. But as far as the annexation process that you're describing that you think that we should kind of move towards, I understand that each pack or pocket of community that you end up force annexing will want to decapitate me, but at the same time, explaining the value of being a member of the city of Yorkville versus being unincorporated Kendall County, is that part of, because when you mentioned coming up with a plan to address those things, when there's 80,000 pockets of people who get city services but don't pay city taxes, is that what you're describing? Like, you're describing the way to describe the way to actually do it? Because that's the part that's confusing to me, because if I go to Bart and say, hey, we should talk about annexation, we should address how to go about doing that. I guess that's, since you've done this before, is there a, like, I don't want to say script, because that makes it sound easy, but is there a path to annexation that is kind of available in the comprehensive plan, or something that you can kind of direct us towards? Because that, to me, seems the most huge. And he's doing that, see that face? That's the face I'm talking about.
There's no easy answer to that. It is trying to understand what areas you think would be open to annexation. Because they would want, city services. They would want to be. I mean, there's probably different advantages to it for specific neighborhood or area that would want to be part of the city of Yorkville. So it's just, you have to understand where those areas are at first, and then start the discussion with them. There's probably two ways. Usually, there are going to be people that are going to come to you for annexation, and then around there are probably areas you want it. Because you know you're going to surround them at some point
right.
in the future.
Well, I mean, just looking at the map, all of those pockets,
right.
we're pretty much already surrounding the majority of them, like, at least in my uneducated opinion. Right. It looks like we're 80% of us, or no, 70% of us are plowing the roads for 100% of us. And it's just, it's a wacky way to look at a map, and I understand that I wasn't here 100 years ago to set the tone, but if I was, I would have said don't do that.
Right.
More cabooses.
Our thought pattern was, and I should stress this in my presentation, is that rather than really kind of looking towards growing into where it is, it's kind of looking around Yorkville right now and seeing where areas where you can annex, would make more sense. I mean, we're kind of looking inward in this plan.
Right. So, well, it's kind of like advertising to your currently existing client base. So we say we have 17,000 people that live here. Does that include all the people that live in the unincorporated parts of... See, that's what I'm saying. Like, we probably got 25,000 people here. We don't need a home rule referendum. We already are 25,000 people. That's the wacky thing that I'm sitting there going... So we only counted the people that pay city taxes as residents of Yorkville. Yet there's more than 25,000 people in that 80-freaking-mile planning area. Like, it seems like we're shooting for the moon as far as planning... Yet we don't even have the people that live inside of the city limits of Yorkville counted as residents of Yorkville. That's wacky, right? Like, I'm not the only one just kind of talking to himself. Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. That's wacky. You're doing that basically.
I think the other thing we stressed in that part of the plan, too, is really working with Kendall County so that when they have developers coming to that, having them sort of encouraged... subdivision right next to Yorkville to come into Yorkville. Simply because you want to make sure that they're consistent with your subdivision development codes. So that when you go around them, they're not going to be, a different area that looks different, has
right.
different level of amenities and development patterns that's not consistent with what you're trying to do here in Yorkville.
I think all the little subdivisions,
big picture, they're all going to be drinking out of the same hole. So if we start pulling from the river, it's kind of like we already have the ability, like we probably already have the numbers to be able to borrow out in 40 years. And yeah, it just blows my mind that we're already here. Like, Lynn keeps talking about rooftops, rooftops, rooftops. There's already rooftops. They're here. They're just not here. Which is, again, wacky. So, yeah, it's like we keep on reminding ourselves that this is what we need. We need to be home rule so that we can basically plan for the future, borrow money out farther, borrow money that will last the same length as the infrastructure that we want to invest in. Yet those people already live here. So it's just, I have a hard time with that.
No, the problem is the county doesn't make them maintain their parkways.
All about the parkway.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? So what's the plan? We're going to adopt this in 2 weeks?
Yes, the plan is to give the public another opportunity.
Okay, so we have one more public hearing, or just here?
Just here.
Okay. So all public hearings, everything's done, we can adopt this in 2 weeks?
Yes, yes, we have a public hearing August 10th.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, next I will entertain a resolution recommending denial and filing of a written protest for the proposed zoning request of petition number 16-22 for property at 790 Elderman Road in Bristol Township.
Okay, so the
we need a motion and a second first.
All right,
second.
Second. All yours.
Okay. The Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed this item in their August 10th meeting. The issue here is the property is currently in violation of county regulations for an agricultural zoning property. This was brought to the county's attention, and the petitioner requested a rezone to manufacturing. Our current 2008 comprehensive plan does envision this area for manufacturing, but the proposed state large subdivision residential. In addition, there are requests from the petitioner at the county level to seek a variance to not pave the surface. They're running a towing and truck repair operation here, and then they're going to be storing vehicles on site. They don't want to fence off the property as well. With that in mind, staff have recommended an objection this proposal, and the Planning and Zoning Commission wanted a more formal objection from the City Council. So, in your packet, there's a resolution that's formally objecting to this petition. This petition won't be heard by Kendall County until late October, so we put on that one. So, we have time to present our objection before they make the action.
Any comments, questions?
Listen, I agree with all your objections. Like, just the two things that were the most glaring were the obviously not paving an area where you're going to be having leaky trucks, and then not fencing in an area with stuff like that. Since I do live kind of in that direction, we have a lot of the animals that jump out, so I just kind of imagine it. Now that Elderman Road, you can only go 45 miles an hour, but I've seen vehicles go as fast as 65 miles an hour. Not that I would ever do that, but that road is now super fast, just like downtown 47, if you've ever been on that road. So the fact that they're going to have all of these places for large animals to hide, I agree with you.
Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kat?
Aye.
Breeders?
Aye.
Tarulas?
Aye.
Pelosima?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion passes.
City clerk's report?
No report.
Any community and liaison reports? Staff reports?
Just one, Your Honor. We have hometown days coming up next weekend, and I'll turn it over to Tim because he's got a little bit of a scheduling event.
Is next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, weekend. Schedule events on the Facebook page, on the city website, all the activities we have going on all next weekend. Biggest thing probably new is we are working with the library on a Book 8 5K run, trying to fundraise for the library this year. Junior's Women's Craft Show. We do have the dog competition.
Yes, we're going to have good weather.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Okay, any other staff reports? Thank you, Tim. Additional business? Yes, sir.
I noticed as I was coming through town today that the pedestrian crossing signs are in place at 47 in Main. Talking with Eric, not fully activated, but they will be soon. So, Larry, thank you for pushing hard for making that one happen. Public Works Committee staff for making that reality.
Anyone else? No executive session. Do we have any citizen comments? Anyone? No one wants? Okay. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I was a resident at Policy Center Apartments. I'm Trisha from Illinois. currently at City Center Apartments. I'm coming here today, I guess, to go on about the mold problem that City Center Apartments. It's previously growing on my couch. I threw half of my second one out. It's on the bottom of my couch. It is also growing on my TV. I've got an older TV with a speaker at the bottom, and it's growing up the speaker. Jim came in and cleaned it with oil band and said if it comes back, just use that. It's been maybe a week or so, and it's right back on the couch. I've got three little children, and I've asked to get this problem resolved. And I just need to bring that up, because it's out of control of me. Obviously, I've had an opportunity to review the report myself and found that there was Lactobacillus in my apartment, which is the black toxic mold. I really appreciate you pointing that out. That definitely does help my doctors as far as treatment goes. My only concern is if you found it in my apartment, I think I mentioned this before, that what you can't see, you obviously can smell in those units. The damaged water, building materials, can't see behind the walls or in the ceiling. Unfortunately, another apartment in A1, A2, both had mold growing up the wall, just like mine in the closet. Unfortunately, those units were not tested. My fear is that Lactobacillus is all throughout those buildings, not just my unit. That is my comment, my concern. I'm concerned about the children that currently still reside there and the future tenants that potentially will live there. Obviously, we know black mold causes major mold sickness in children, especially people who are immune compromised. I have asthma. I mentioned it with asthma. So, but I just wanted to say that. But I really wanted to say thank you very much for taking this very seriously. I'm hoping that we can come to some kind of resolution for the tenants there and future tenants. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other citizen comments? Yes, sir. Say your name for the record.
Yes. Jim Markby, owner and operator of City Center Apartments. And I want to thank the City Council and members of the staff for the opportunity to speak about this important issue. We have been members of the Yorkville business community for over a decade, and we provide affordable quality housing for folks. And through this process, we've been very cooperative with the city and also very patient and, again, very important process to go through. You know, you've heard tonight and other evenings from some of our residents, and but not much from us. And so I just want to take this brief moment to comment on those things. These commentaries by our residents have been emotional and, in fairness, speculative and not really based on data. And if I can bring to mind a summary that's summarize what's taken place thus far, there's been two reports and scientific studies done by expert firms, one commissioned. decision by our company and the other by the city, Perception Environmental in our case and Midwest Environmental in the city's case. The summary of those reports is parallel. And to quote a couple of the summary lines from each, causes of the growth, microbial growth is hygienically due to hygienically unclean functional living space. The others say due to lack of good housekeeping practices. We have many residents that are very happy at City Center, many who have been with us since we took over in 2010 at that location. And I invite all of you, any of you, to come and for a tour of the property, look at our product. We're very proud of it. It's difficult to listen to some of the testimonial here, and nowhere in any of those reports is the word toxic used, by the way. So I'm not a physician, and I wouldn't try to be. I just know that there are people that have sensitivity to mold, of course. But again, I look forward to continuing our relationship in Yorkville in the business community, and I also look forward to the city's conclusions as you guys close in on it. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other citizen comments? Hearing none, meeting adjourned.